Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Joining me as usual at the studios of CBS Interactive, Scott Rowdy of PR agency House Party.
Hi, Tim.
And today's guest, DMG's Dan Bradley.
Hello, Tim. Hi, Scott.
This week, election fever. Hawk pulls in the viewers. The 7pm project makes it to the 1 year mark. And it's a MasterChef leaders election face-off. Census and Sockgate. White Pages turns to the Piano Man, and World Vision gets in on the Old Spice glory ram. So we start off today with Dan Bradley of DMG. I guess the network or the company is probably best known for Nova, and also until relatively recently Vega, which just became Classic Rock. What was that process like? Because it can't be as smooth as it looks to one day be one station and the next be a completely different one.
The process took a while. We spent a long time on it, as you could well imagine. There's a lot of work to be done to get to the point where you do actually finally make that change.
But you managed to keep it under wraps right until the day, didn't you?
We did keep it under wraps. I think it's one of the things that DMG do very well. We are very good at keeping secrets when we need to. We tend to operate on a need to know basis, and those people who need to know to work on the project or do their job actually do know at the latest possible time they need to know. And I think that that's a pretty good way to operate. It certainly served us well in the past. It did with the Nova project when we launched that many, many years ago. And for the Classic Rock change, it did as well.
Now, the first few months, it's probably quite early to say how it's going to go. By the time the ratings came through, we'd sort of been most of the way through a cycle. But it seemed to be that Sydney was going okay. Melbourne had lagged behind a bit.
Well, I think what we've seen in the last survey, which was the first full Classic Rock survey in terms of where the diaries were falling, but keep in mind, though, there was no marketing in that survey either. And in fact, even in this upcoming survey in a couple of weeks, there's only going to be 2 weeks of marketing. So in any material sense, there's none. So we are really not looking at the results last survey, nor, in fact, the upcoming survey, to be in any way validate the decision or otherwise. We are looking at these surveys merely as something we need to get through on the way to build this brand.
And you touch on the marketing of it. I mean, I remember I was in Melbourne recently, got into the car, the taxi driver, first song that came on was Stairway to Heaven, and we both kind of, you know, rocked out to it and then realised it was Classic Rock. And yeah. I was chatting to him and he was saying, oh yeah, you know, I was playing it to one of my other passengers, a businessman from Sydney, the other day, and he was saying, I wish that I had a station like this in my city.
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it?
Which kind of, you know, it suggests that you've not yet had the chance to get the message out to the consumers.
Oh, there's no doubt the awareness of Classic Rock is very low. It is very low, and we know that, and we knew that. This is a new brand. We have shut down the two stations as they were some time ago. We have launched two brand new radio stations, and as of up until about 3 days ago, have not taken them to market. We are very confident the brand is very good. The quality of it is good. What we see in our internal tracking and what we see anecdotally is that people have a view about the radio. People who are aware of the radio stations have a view about the format, and that's what we wanted. The old position that we had those stations in was ambiguous. It was a little grey. It wasn't very clear about what it stood for. It certainly wasn't a pure specialist position, and the move to Classic Rock has been an end to any of that greyness. It is very, very clear about what it stands for, and our view was going to be, our view was, and in fact the reality has proven to be the case, that people have an opinion about it. You either like it or you don't like it. That's actually what we want. Whenever I talk to people who say, and you sometimes have to draw it out of them, who say, it's not really my sort of thing, that's actually a positive. Because what they're saying is you have achieved, in part, what you set out to achieve, which is to force people to have a view. We don't really mind if you say, you know what, that station's not for me. I don't like classic rock music.
And if you had to pick out the tune that sums up the station, what would it be?
Well, I wouldn't pick out one tune, to be honest. I certainly think you could look at a raft of bands and say they really do define what we stand for, and that would probably be things like Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Van Halen, Jimmy Barnes, Pink Floyd. If you look at those suite of artists, they define the radio station, and they define it in far more of a way than any one song can. Because what we don't do on Classic Rock is just play Stairway to Heaven, you mentioned earlier. We also play Going to California and The Immigrant song, and we do go a little deeper and play Trampled Underfoot, for example. We protect them, we context them, but we celebrate them. Very, very important. If we just came on and played Stairway to Heaven every 3 days, what a waste of a time! What a waste of time that'd be.
It made me happy when it came on.
Oh, it's a great, that's a great song.
It's been a while since I heard it.
I'm not suggesting for a moment Stairway to Heaven is not one of the greatest songs ever made, arguably the greatest song ever made. But there is more to classic rock than Stairway to Heaven.
Scott, your sort of track listing?
I'd probably as Stairway to Heaven, Rolling Stones, you know, that kind of stuff. I like my classic stuff more than anything else. I think that's what people like to hear. We're a bit sick of modern pop generic crap, I think.
You strike me as a Paul Young kind of man, Scott.
No.
I can see with a large A and a Paul Young C there. I think.
More Stones and right. Hendrix and Floyd, that kind of stuff.
I'm not sure whether that was a really barbed insult. You're a Paul Young kind of guy.
No. It's not. Your time will come.
It probably will. Well, I'm delighted we've got 5 minutes without it coming.
Yeah.
Now, Paul Young's not that bad.
I suppose one of the perceptions I almost take from the station is, obviously, you moved away right from the beginning from sort of personalities at Breakfast in Sydney.
Yep.
You've since done it with Dicko and Dave in Melbourne as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean that this is going to be a station where in time there won't be a big personality breakfast show, or is this just a phase you're going through until the music policy has been established?
We're open on that. We certainly believe at the moment this is the right thing to do, to have a more music position. We didn't make that change in Melbourne initially because we really did believe in the breakfast show and in the Dicko and Dave show, and you know it was it was a very, very difficult decision to change that and to remove that show. And you know, I noticed there's a number of comments even on your site from people saying, "Well, a terrible decision," and so on and so forth. I think if you take all the emotion out of it, if you remove all the emotion, and if you look at the facts are, irrespective of the fact that we thought it was a great breakfast show, irrespective of the fact that anecdotally there was good feedback on the breakfast show, the cold hard facts are this: it was on a 2.3% share, it was trending down. That 2.3% was the lowest share it had had in nearly 2 years. And it was the only breakfast show and commercial band that it was ahead of was the MTR show, which is obviously an emerging brand new radio station. So I don't know that there is any responsible radio network in this country who would have sat back and said, you know what, we're actually okay with that. We will let that continue.
What share is acceptable? What do you think you should be looking for?
For a breakfast show? Well, I don't think you put figures on it, to be honest. I certainly think you want to be well above a 2.3, though, as opposed to putting a specific figure on it. I'd be reluctant to do that, but I can tell you now, 2.3 is not where anybody wants to be.
And what are the options? Could you see, for instance, a networked breakfast show across, you know, same personalities in Sydney and Melbourne, for instance?
Networked breakfast shows has been tried before and failed. I have a view, and I know this is a view shared more broadly, that networking at breakfast time is a very, very dangerous game, and it's not something that we are supportive of.
So what next then? You're just unveiling the consumer campaign. Where are you taking the station after that?
Well, for the moment, what we want to do is we want to deliver the promise and deliver the product in a very, very clear, pure, specialist-focused way. We are very confident, and we have had this supported in our internal research, that when people who are into this music find this radio station, they really, really enjoy and really get into this radio station. It is, as I said before, one of those formats, and the way that we're executing it is such that people either say, not for me, I'm not going to listen, or, wow, this is really cool, I really like it a lot. And we're very confident that the marketing and the quality of the marketing will start to bring some people in and increase our awareness, and we are equally as confident the product is good enough to retain them. So to answer your question about what's next is to ensure that the cum and the awareness the marketing gives us over time, and that won't be a sudden spike in a week. I mean, that will take time, you know, over consequent months. Our main focus for the next little while is to convert that into P1s and partisans of the station.
And those new listeners, do you think they're currently Triple M listeners? Is that where they're going to come from?
Well, we're not targeting any one radio. I mean, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's not. We're actually not targeting any one radio station. There does seem to be a view from some people that we are targeting that particular radio station, which I think comes
well, they're targeting you. Suddenly, I'm hearing the phrase classic rock a lot.
Well, yeah, they certainly are. Interesting. They certainly are saying it a fair bit and using the phrase a bit. And they're playing a lot more than they have for some time. And that's probably a question that you might want to ask other people than me. Our view is not to target any one radio station. Our view is that for people who are into this music, currently some of them are sitting on Triple M, currently some are sitting on WS and Gold, there may be some on other FM stations, and some of them are on talk radio as well. And what you find sometimes with people who use talk radio, they have the talk stations and they listen, there may be a news junkie or a talk junkie, whatever it is, but they have one station for music. And for the people who have a propensity to enjoy this music, we want to be that one station.
Now, we're several months now into the birth of digital radio in Australia. What have you learned from that so far?
Well, it's embryonic, isn't it? There is quite a few digital radios that have been sold. There is lots of interesting formats. I don't think any of us pretend that we have got digital entirely nailed yet. We certainly don't.
You've got Coffee and Nova Nation.
Yeah. And where it's going to be in a year, I don't know. I think the key thing for digital will be getting it in cars. Once it's in cars, that will change the game. That will all of a sudden make it so much more accessible, and it'll be at some point that will then become ubiquitous if it is in all new cars made. So I think that's the key.
It must be hard to justify actually putting too much investment into it at the moment because the audience really isn't there yet.
Well, the spectrum that we have to use, we have to do something with it, and we do, we do get some revenues from it, but it's not something we're going to all of a sudden be rolling in money on for the moment anyway. It's a long term play, as it is for every company, and I don't think any company's sinking unbelievable amounts of money into digital. It simply doesn't make sense to do so.
Now, the ownership of the network changed, must have been right at the end of last year. So suddenly you've got a Murdoch in the building, 50% owner, Lachlan Murdoch. How have things changed since the ownership changed?
Well, Lachlan is around a little more than the DNGT guys were, simply by the fact he lives in Australia, whereas they're all based in London.
I got to peep through the window at his desk one time when I was in your building. It looked a very clean desk, I thought.
It is a very clean desk, yeah. Look, the reality is, though, Cathy O'Connor is the chief executive, and in terms of the day-to-day running the company, that's Cathy's role. We do have contact, obviously, with Lachlan. He's around, and he often will pop in and ask questions or make comments or give a view on something, and that's fantastic. It's terrific. Cathy is the CEO, and she's the person who runs the company and who we report to on a day-to-day basis.
And what about your radio listening habits? What if you weren't listening to your own stations, what would you listen to? What would you enjoy listening to?
What do I listen
to?
Personally,
listen? Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I do clearly listen to a lot of our radio stations, and you have to listen to the other stations to be aware of what they're doing, as opposed to focused on what they're doing. But I have my secret little listening habit is actually, this is going to be quite bizarre, is actually PM on the ABC, which I quite like. It's 6 o'clock, so if I'm in the car heading home from work at about 6:30, I usually flick that on and have a listen to it. So. I'm not quite sure why. I just gravitate to it. So,
and where do you talent spot from? Where do you find the
Well, first of all, we listen to the Umbrella podcast every week. That's the main place we look.
No good signs yet, though. But,
yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. No. We'll have to have a talk about that. Oh, anyway, it might be a TV show, it might be a stand-up performer, might be a young talent night, might be other radio stations, might be community radio stations. All over the place, and you have to be looking out for talent. Really, fresh talent and emerging talent is the lifeblood of this business, and we have to do more of it. We have to do it better, and I think we are getting pretty good at that.
Is there anyone who impresses you at the moment who you've sort of seen coming through?
Well, we've got some good young talent on the network at the moment. We have Dave Thornton on the Nova Network, who we have been working with for some time. And we think he's a good talent. Got some other young guys who we've done some work with and some shows with, and we're continuing to work with them. And there's a few other people who we haven't put anywhere yet, and whose names I probably would prefer to keep away from you.
So as not to alert competitors, yeah.
Well, no, it's just there's no point talking about their names yet.
And when you say you work with someone, what is the process where you how do you actually help somebody become a better presenter? What sort of things do you look at or do you hear that maybe a listener wouldn't hear?
Well, we've got a number of our programmers who, in fact, all our programmers work on development shows of some kind. And we also have some of our talent who help out with young talent and sort of mentor them as well. And I don't think that's proprietary information. I think everyone does it pretty much the same way. And you teach them how to construct breaks and how to construct a show and how to build a concept for a show. What is the concept of this show going to be? What do you want it to be? And how will we engage listeners into the content? It is not necessarily rocket science. It is about giving them a go, letting them make mistakes, letting them feel they can make mistakes in an off-Broadway position, and learning from it, and then seeing what they've got in the tank. And, you know, some have got some great stuff in the tank, and they'll fly, and others don't, and then you move on to the next person.
Dan, thanks for joining us.
No worries, thank you.
Up next, we take a look at the TV ratings. Now, it's been a busy week on the box. There's been a programme every hour. Like most weeks, really. Ten's biopic. Did you pronounce it biopic or biopic?
Biopic, I think it is.
Hawk. Now, that did pretty well. 1.6 million, I think it was, from memory. 7pm Project did pretty well as well. They had their first birthday. And MasterChef is getting ready for their finale this Sunday. So it's been all about Ten, really. Hawk, first of all. Bob Hawk.
Boring.
Was the icon.
The whole programme is boring. Sorry, I know. Probably a lot of people disagree with me here, but I just couldn't keep focused on it. I didn't find it that interesting.
Do you know, the issue I had wasn't so much the subject matter, even. It was I watched out of a sense of duty. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually felt quite excited, quite looking forward to it. Settled in, watched MasterChef.
MasterChef.
That would be like a great gardening program, wouldn't it? In fact, I think I may rush away and register that URL immediately. It went for the episodic thing, so a bit, in, you know, a little bit later, a little bit early, like a boring Tarantino movie.
Very boring Tarantino movie. I think it was well shot, but the acting was good. But I just didn't really. No, I think feel the script let it down.
Yeah, the one thing that struggled was some sort of narrative, wasn't it? 7pm Project made it to its first birthday, which lots of people didn't expect.
Yeah, quite impressed by that. It's a good show. I enjoy it. I try and catch it when I can. Dave Hughes' voice drives me up the wall sometimes. His tweets are great, but his voice does it. Really,
and credit to Ten, though, because there were times when it was doing about 600,000.
Yeah, but they've kept plugging it, and that's the way to do it, you know.
Yeah.
It'll get the viewers. If it's good enough, it'll keep getting the viewers, and it's
managed. I mean, we'll have to see how it goes once MasterChef finishes.
That'll be
because obviously that's dragged it back up above the million or around the million again, but we'll have to see. Speaking of MasterChef, the final this Sunday, this will be one of the big TV events of the year. Your prediction for the audience for the final?
Oh, I don't know.
It's been doing about
2.7?
Yeah, do you know, I'm going to go higher. I think it will go the other side of 3 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win it? Lawyer woman? Or...
Do you know, that
young kid?
Is tricky because I had Curry King. I actually had Curry King Jimmy.
Really?
But he's been eliminated now.
He got smacked down last night.
He did, yes. So not quite sure on that one. I'll be doing my best to watch it, though. That is for sure. Now, the other interesting battle, though, is that the politicians decided it would be a good idea to stage the leaders' debate.
Yeah, I was flummoxed by that, I've got to admit. I was kind of shocked that they would even try and go up against entertainment versus politics. People are always going to go for entertainment.
I suppose the question is it a bit depressing that the most important decision Australians will make this year, in theory, is being affected and having to move the time by a television programme? What does that say about our priorities?
I think it's a tragic state of affairs. But on the flip side, I don't think the politicians are that interesting, and people actually don't really care because the politicians have spent the last X amount of years boring people senseless.
Well, happily, they've now moved it to 6:30, so first of all, we get to decide between Tony and Julia, and then we get to see the big final. Yeah.
And now, remember, Australia, you're under the Westminster system, which means you're not voting for a president or a prime minister, you're voting for a party.
Just a little reminder on the politics. Just a public service announcement from Scott. Next up, we talk Sockgate. Now, a rather unorthodox campaign appeared in the last few days. For every person that does a Facebook like or follows on Twitter the Census 123 warm-up project, Census will donate a pair of socks to the homeless. Let's hear a clip.
You always been a walker?
Yeah. I hitchhiked around Australia about five times. That's before I got diagnosed with me paranoid schizophrenia.
You walked around Australia five times?
Yeah. Well, I was never in one spot for more than 6 months.
How many cases do you think you travel a day, that is?
About six, maybe eight.
And how long do your socks last?
About 3 weeks.
How many pairs of socks do you think you go through every year?
I got about 10 pairs at home and they all got holes in them.
So a fresh pair of socks must be pretty great.
Yeah, I'm forward, yeah.
That's got your reaction to
look.
To
I think
video.
Any company that wants to help the homeless is great. Okay, it's a problem in so many countries, and I think it's great that Census have got together with one of their agencies and come up with this campaign. On the flip side, I think that video is absolutely hideous. Trying to shoehorn this homeless guy, who's obviously not right in the head, it seems at times, trying to shoehorn him, this constantly talking about the socks. Just felt horrible. I mean, it made me feel a little bit sick in the mouth. And I think that moving forward, Census has to really look at what the next steps are on this one, because it's...
Well, the point to make, of course, is that the Census character is a sock puppet, which is why it kind of felt, to me, slightly icky. And I don't actually disbelieve that... The marketing people at Census, it's not that they're not good people trying to do good things for a cause, but absolutely. Yeah, I cringed a bit at that one, I must admit.
Yeah, I mean, and it was great to see them getting on board and responding to the actual Umbrella story and seeing them actually getting involved and giving their side over. That was fantastic. I really enjoyed that.
Well, next up, we stick with Census companies with the Piano Man.
Everybody's searching for someone. Discount jewels, meats of distinction. Henry Jensen, mega pest prevention. We remember the names, but not the details. We try so hard, but the memory fails. Don't waste your life searching for ages. Find them faster in the white pages.
So that little piece of music you heard was the White Pages Piano Man. It's been a good while since there's been any TV advertising for White Pages. How did you feel about that particular advertisement, Scott? We should describe the visual, which is it's a very, very white video, isn't it? With a man at what seems to be a baby grand piano, but then turns out to be a little keyboard, keyboard.
To be honest, I'd rather have a colonoscopy than actually watch that, to be perfectly honest again. It reminded me, funnily enough, of, do you remember the old Philadelphia adverts? Where the women were in heaven or something like that, and the whole heavenly taste or something like that. And that's what it felt like. It felt like some bad 80s advert, and obviously that's what they thought it would do, and it didn't make me want to go use Census. It didn't make me want to use Census at all. The White Pages, sorry. I was like, what? But what?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it was a kind of odd one. It's going to be very interesting to see all of the marketing for all of the Telstra companies. As we were recording this podcast, sort of news just beginning to break of a whole bunch of somewhere between 30 and 330 sort of senior management redundancies at Telstra. So I think we'll see some quite big changes to the marketing team there anyway. Next up, we'll talk for, I think, the third week running about Old Spice. So, Scott, let's hear a tiny little clip from World Vision.
Hello, Australians. How are you? Fantastic. Look at your children. Now back to me. Now back to them. Now back to me. Luckily, if you're living in Australia right now, it's highly likely that your children would have every opportunity to be happy, healthy and well-educated. Look down. Now look up. I'm in Kenya. Look over there. Now look back. Now I'm in Nepal. You see, around the world, while all children have the right to, certainly not all are guaranteed to possess the same opportunities as your own.
Now that one followed the rampant success of the Old Spice videos. So World Vision jumped in, got the CEO to take his shirt off, wear the dressing gown, fortunately, and do a spoof of it. It was interesting, the debate that followed on the Mumbrella comment stream, though, because half people were, hey, that's just tacky and it's bad production values and he's not looking properly at the camera. And the other people saying, it's a charity. You shouldn't have high production values. You shouldn't be spending the money on it. It's about engagement. Which side of the fence do you
say? I'm on the latter stage there. I think it's great. The speed at which they turned it around was fantastic.
It's funny, isn't it? Because this time last week, you and I were talking about how you might do one for your agency, and you've been beaten to it.
I know, beaten to it, like within 5 hours or something like that. You know, I'd had the script written and everything. But it was, I think, the speed at which they got onto it, the fact the CEO got involved like that, it was great to see. Do you know what? If they'd spent $100,000 on doing this, I'd have been gutted, because that's $100,000 they should have been spending elsewhere. And I think the fact that it looked cheesy and cheap was great, because it made me think, well, you know, they've probably just got a handy cam in the office, a bit of a magic special effects from Adobe package, and there you go, boom, let's just see what they've got. And it's great, I loved it. I really, good on them, that's what I see.
A nice positive note to end on. That is where we have to leave it for today. Thank you to my co-host Scott Rohde and to our guest Dan Bradley from DMG's Classic Rock. Thanks to CBS for use of their studios. Production was by Georgina Pearson. That was the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Toodle pip.